If you have your Bibles today, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. Listen now to the word of God. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll pray before we go into today's message, do in remembrance of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, it is by your word that we know what is right, what is wrong. Not just based on our experiences, not just on our own opinions, not even on the opinions of the world around us. But Lord, it is your word that guides us. And so Lord, sometimes we live this life and we don't realize that we're off the path, that we've strayed away, that some of the things that we picked up in our attitudes and our mindsets, some of the things that we judge as right and wrong, Lord, we don't realize that it's coming from different areas, not your word. But Lord, today, you know, we sit before you, we sit in your presence, wanting to recenter ourselves, coming back to your word. Your word is our foundation. And so, Lord, we ask that you would open up our ears, open up our hearts, so that we could listen and understand. Not only understand and take in what we hear, but Lord, that we would be willing to live it in our lives. Give us the courage, give us the strength to be people who really live by the word that you give to us, that we're unafraid and unashamed of who we are, and that we're able to live according to what you teach us. Lord, whatever areas in our lives, whether it's individually or whether corporately, as a ministry and as a church, that you reveal to us, if you show us that we're doing something wrong, Lord, would you allow us to not be stubborn and set in our ways, but would you allow us to be willing to adjust and to correct so that we can be more pleasing and more acceptable in your sight. And we thank you, God. We trust in you, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, in sermon preparation this week, this passage caught my eye, and I will admit that I've not really preached from this passage before. It seems like a very specific topic that Paul was addressing in his letter, and it's one that, you know, unless you're struggling with that in your church, in your ministry, then maybe you don't point to this passage. Maybe it doesn't stick out to you or jump out at you as one that would be preachable for a regular Sunday service. You know, they're discussing the Lord's Supper and some of the things that they were doing right with it, some of the things that they were doing wrong with it, and Paul is trying to correct some of the attitudes that the people in the church in Corinth had towards the Lord's Supper, this holy sacrament, this really, this thing that they did in remembrance of Christ. And so when I was reading this passage, I kept getting stuck on this passage, and I kept coming back to it and reading it over and over again, and I was like, why? You know, is it because, you know, am I going to have to preach about, you know, the Holy Supper? Am I going to preach about the breaking of the bread and the taking of the wine? And I was like, that's such a specific sermon. And you know, if there are people who are not part of our ministry or they haven't been to our church before, they're going to be like, what is this guy preaching about? You know, what is this a lesson about? So I was kind of struggling with this passage this week. And I was asking God, why is this being highlighted to me? You know, like, why am I getting stuck on this? Why such a specific example? And so, you know, I read through it, and I did struggle a little bit with this passage this week, just kind of praying through, why God? Why this passage? What is it that you want me to speak about? What is it that you want me to highlight? And, you know, as I was reading it, there were a lot of kind of fresh ideas that came into mind. It wasn't just so specific. It wasn't just practical advice. It wasn't just something that Paul wanted to correct. But, you know, when I dug deeper into it, it revealed an attitude, a heart of worship, something inside of the believers that were gathering, that were kind of doing this wrong thing. And I thought, you know what? I think this is what God wants me to highlight. I think this is what God wants me to preach about. And so I prepared the message. It's, you know, if you read this passage, if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 11, a lot of it is very practical advice. A lot of it is just kind of correcting things that they might have been doing wrong. So if you're a little bit familiar with this passage, the thing that comes right before this is about like covering their heads in worship, right? Whether you should cover your heads in worship. They discuss things like, what should you do with a feast that was prepared for idols? You know, like, and he's giving practical advice in some ways. And then all of a sudden he goes into this idea that they were doing something wrong in their approach towards the Lord's Supper. The Eucharist. They were doing something wrong as they were taking of the bread and taking of the wine. And it's kind of funny to me. I struggled with this week because I didn't really want to bring it up, or I wasn't sure if it was a proper place for me to bring it up. But, you know, in churches, there are times where food becomes a problem. Eating is a problem. Preparing meals, right? There's struggles between people who are preparing. There are always fights in the kitchen. My parents are, my father's a pastor. He has a church out in Flushing. And I have, you know, almost daily conversations with my mom about their church and what they struggle with, what's been going on. And it's funny because a lot of times she's always discussing things that are going on in the kitchen. The food aspect, eating. And she's like, you know, worship was great. You know, oh, yeah, the service was great. Oh, but we had another problem with the food and people that were discussing the food, and they said, this is not the right food. This is too little food. This is too much food. We're wasting money on food. And the people who were in the kitchen were struggling with some of the things that were related to food. And, you know, I love eating. I love food. You know, the first message that I preached in this English ministry had to do with Peter Luger's. I think about food all the time. I love eating. But in some funny ways, in some ironic ways, in almost a silly way, this passage is discussing people who are, you know, they're interested in the food aspect of the Lord's Supper. And I was like, wow, that's, you know, that's kind of interesting, you know, that they're coming to church and they're filling their bellies. It's almost like they're coming because they, you know, they were hungry and they wanted to get a meal. And it almost seems ridiculous if you think about, you know, the breaking of the bread in churches these days, in the modern church. But perhaps, you know, that was a serious issue. That could have been a potential issue in the churches, that people who were hungry, people who were poor, that they were coming just because there was this meal, there was this breaking of the bread. And it seems a little bit silly to say in modern context, but they were saying, you know, there are people that are hungry. They're using this for their own purposes. They're approaching the Lord's Supper, and they're trying to gain from it, gain something for themselves. Using something sacred, using something holy to gain for themselves. And that was kind of the idea that kind of unfolded in my mind. And I thought to myself, no one does that, right? No one in modern churches would use something holy, use something sacred, use something that's meant for Jesus Christ, something to honor God, but use it for themselves, use it for their own gain, use it to satisfy a desire of their own heart. That doesn't happen in churches today, right? And it got me thinking about certain things that we hold as sacred, that we hold as holy. You know, there's nothing like bigger in a lot of church backgrounds, a lot of different kind of denominations and different church services, you know, the Lord's Supper is one of the biggest things. It's one of the holiest things. It's one of the most serious things that happens in a church service. And still, we can take something like that because of our brokenness, because we're human, because we're sinful, and we can turn it into something that it's not. We can turn it into something that it's not meant for. Somehow we can take something that's that holy, that was given so that we could remember the broken body of Jesus Christ, that we could remember the blood that he shed on the cross, and we could turn it into an idea about a meal, about filling our stomachs, about getting drunk on wine. You know, and that's what was happening in the Corinth church, and it made me wonder, what other areas in our churches, in the modern church, could we possibly and potentially make this mistake? What about praise? What about their moments in praise when we're supposed to do it in remembrance of Christ, when we're supposed to do it to honor God, exalt God, but we make it more about ourselves? We make it more about what we desire, what we want fulfilled through the praise. You know, there are people in this world and they make a career out of praise. They do it to kind of make themselves known, to get their name out there, to add to their influence, to their own renown. And that's why I highlighted certain parts of the verses today in the passage, that we are meant to do things in our churches, that we are meant to take part in religious activity, not so we can gain something for ourselves, but in remembrance of Jesus Christ. You know, when is the last time that you sang a praise song and you could really just see Jesus Christ, that you just could felt so close to him? You know, there are times where I've taken part in worship, and I can confess this and say this openly, but, you know, I was thinking about, oh, that's a song that I like. That's a tune that I like. Oh, that song is in a key that fits me. Oh, I really like that praise today. Oh, I didn't like that praise today. Oh, I was blessed by that praise today. Oh, I wasn't blessed by that praise today. And despite it being something very holy, something lifted to God, our offering, it's coming from our hearts. We're trying to bless the Lord with our praise. Still, sometimes I exit the service or I exited services where it was more about me. Did it fulfill what I wanted? Did we sing three songs that I enjoyed, that I knew? Or was I struggling through it? Oh, I wish he sang something else today. I wish he sang a different song today. We can do that. And that's, I think, what this passage is about, that it would be so ridiculous, right, that Jesus Christ would leave something behind, so serious, such a big deal. You know, one of the final things that he did with his disciples before his crucifixion, and something that he's really put a lot of heart into, do this in remembrance of me. These were serious words. You know, he was talking about his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, his whole purpose for coming into this world, and somehow it got reduced because of our humanness, because of sinfulness. It got reduced to, oh, you're sharing in these meals together, and some people are filling their stomachs, some people are getting drunk on the wine, you know, you're excluding certain people, you're including certain people. You see, we have that tendency inside of us. No matter how holy we think of something, no matter how big a deal it is, it happens in our small groups, it happens sometimes in Bible studies. Things that are meant to be sacred, things that are meant to really get us closer to God, but it becomes more about us. It becomes more about what we desire, what we can receive from it. Churches become like that to people as well. A holy space to gather and to worship God together, to come before the Lord, to enter into his presence, to lift up your praise. But a lot of times, church becomes what we want, what we're looking for, what we desire, to fill a need inside of our hearts, inside of our, to fill one of the needs that we see for ourselves. We can take the holiest of things and we can turn it inwards towards ourselves. This is a human tendency that we have. It happens in all areas, and it's something that we need to be careful of. When I started kind of processing this message and I read the passage again, it seems almost ridiculous. It's like almost comical. It's almost a joke that they would do this sort of thing to the Lord, to the Lord's Supper. And basically, Paul must be kind of like pulling his hair out as he's writing this letter, as he's trying to discuss, man, this is something that was so holy, so sacred, you know, something that was so serious as Jesus was, you know, about to take the cross for the sins of this world. And now we're discussing these kinds of things. Now we're talking about the problems in the kitchen, you know, the problems with food, the problems with eating together. And I think that's part of this message. I think that's the highlight of this message, that we could take something, you know, so holy, that we could even take Sunday services, you know, when we enter into God's presence and we're here to honor and exalt the Lord, and we could turn it into things that are so trivial sometimes, so silly sometimes, that when they rewrite the story, if they were to rewrite the story and the history of what we do on a week-to-week basis, if they were to write a story about my worship experience, my personal experience, as I entered into God's presence, it would almost be as comical. I didn't like how the music was. Oh, I didn't really like today's lunch. Or, you know, like the types of things that are not as important. And it takes the focus away from why we do things, why we plan things, why do churches do what churches do. We're supposed to do it in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we think about who he is and what he's done for us. Who is Jesus to you? What has he done for you? Now, what value does Jesus Christ bring into your life? Because we're supposed to be remembering those things every single time we enter into worship. Every single time we do some kind of Christian service, we're doing it in remembrance of Christ. And so if we're not thinking towards those things, if we're not discerning in those ways, then so often and so easily, it will turn into something that it's not meant to be. It will turn into something that turns inward towards ourselves. What can I gain? What can I get? How can this benefit my life? And so today's reminder is fairly simple. The things that we do, the worship that we give, the activities that are planned, the holy things, the sacraments, even the Lord's Supper in our churches, we have to think about the Lord when we go through these things. It's supposed to conjure up images of Jesus Christ. It's supposed to bring back experiences that you've had with Jesus Christ. It's supposed to make you remember that sweet taste of meeting Jesus Christ for the first time. Do in remembrance of me was the command that the Lord gave as people approached the Lord's Supper. And when is the last time that you did anything in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you have an intention? Did you come with a heart of wanting to give service and worship today in remembrance of Jesus Christ? Did you come with any expectations at all? For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, those who can still go through that holy motion, they can go through the holy routine, they can go through the thing in church, the church and Christian and religious activity, but they don't discern the body of Christ. They don't think deeply about his body that was broken, the blood that was shed. They're eating and drinking. They're going through the same motions as everyone else, but it brings judgment upon themselves. How many times have we experienced something within church where we weren't discerning Jesus Christ, where we weren't thinking about him, and we did the same activities, we went through the same motions, but instead of uplifting and remembering Jesus Christ, we brought judgment upon ourselves for the hearts and the attitudes that we had towards the activity. I ask you to reevaluate some of the things that you do in church, some of the activities that you take part in. If it's worship, then reevaluate your attitude and your heart towards worship. Also, maybe towards praise, maybe towards Christian service. Maybe it is even towards the kitchen duties that you might have. It's time to reevaluate some of those things so that you remind yourself that you're doing the things that you do in this world. You're doing the things that you do in church in remembrance of Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save us, to give us life, to forgive us for our sins, not so that we can gain something, not so that we have something to brag about over someone else. This is the type of message that came to my heart when I read this passage, the Lord's Supper, the abuse of the Lord's Supper, the joke made of the Lord's Supper is almost the title that I would give it. But let's be careful in our churches, in our services, in our individual lives, to not make this mistake, so that when the history of our relationship with God is written, we would not have this kind of chapter inside of it, that we would take something so holy, so sacred, so serious, something that's meant to remind us of Jesus Christ and make us feel close to Jesus Christ, and make a mockery of it by making it more about ourselves, what we desire, I ask you now to take a moment of time to reevaluate your lives, to reflect on the way that you've approached things in your churches, the worships that you've given, the praises that you've sung, the activities that you've taken part in. Who was that for? Who were you exalting? Who were you lifting up? Were you remembering Jesus Christ? Would you join with me in taking a moment just to reflect on your past experiences with Christ, reflecting on the services that you've gave? Etched into your heart. May it be something that you're reminded of each time you enter into God's presence. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Everyone ought to examine themselves each time they enter into God's presence, each time they take part in activity that involves the Lord. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." And God, we confess that in our lives, there are times where we've taken things that are meant for you and we've taken it for ourselves. We also confess that there are times where holy things, sacred things, we've made a mockery of it because of our hearts and our attitudes. Lord, our human tendency to turn things towards us, Lord. It occurs all the time in churches as well, when we give praise, when we pray prayers, when we lead committees, when we make decisions. Lord, so often it becomes more about us, filling a desire in our hearts, filling a need for ourselves. And sometimes we don't even remember you. We don't even think of you. Lord, would you change our hearts? Would you change our attitudes? Help us with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to start seeing things the way they're supposed to be, to start doing things the way they were supposed to be done. Lord, we thank you, God. We trust in the power of your Spirit, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray.